But I know that today's work culture no longer caters to the job loyalty that could be promised to earlier generations.
What I believe, sir, is that good things come to those who work their asses off.
And that good people, such as yourself, who reached the top of the mountain, didn't just fall there. My motto is, if you want to win the lottery, you have to make the money to buy a ticket. You have to make the money to buy a ticket.
You have to make the money to buy a ticket!
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Will Coons back here with you. Boy, I'm out of breath. Isn't that pathetic? It's really sad, man. How are you? I'm well. I'm fine. Thank you for tuning in this week on Radio St. Pete or on podcast. Hey, if you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Just search for HMB Radio Tampa Bay. You'll be able to pull it up there. While you're there, make sure you leave a nice review, 5 stars. Cool podcast, man. I think it's okay. And then click submit, do that. It only takes a second, really helps us out. That's just really nice of you. It's nice to be nice, isn't it? If you want to get in touch with us, it's easy. You can text me or call me, 813-693-2124. If you missed that, no worries. Go to the website, hmbradio.com. It's got all that contact info. You can listen to old episodes. There's so much you can do there. I got stickers. The Homemade Broadcast at RadioSt.Pete.com. Just email me. I'll send you some. No big deal. I'll pay for postage. Why? Because I want you to have them. I appreciate you. I appreciate you for listening. Is this getting weird? I think it is. Facebook, HMB Radio on Facebook, easy enough. Make sure you follow Radio St. Pete as well. Radio St. Pete, just search it on Facebook. Twitter, you can find me at @home_made_man. Same thing with Instagram. And Radio St. Pete is just Radio St. Pete on Twitter and Instagram. We've been doing more with that, so make sure you check it out, tune in, give some hearts and some likes and some retweets and some, I know you can retweet Instagrams too somehow. It's really important to keep up to date with technology because life moves fast and there's always something new going on. So this week we have Steve. Steve is from Ion Tampa Bay. I like what Steve's doing because I'm really kind of borderline obsessed with this independent media movement and how you don't need these dinosaur media outlets anymore. You don't need ABC, NBC, and Fox anymore. You can just make your own thing. That's kind of what this is. And he's doing his thing. He's kind of covering, I guess it's more like, you know, crime stuff and fires and just what's happening, you know, in Tampa Bay. So he does a really good job. He's got really cool drone videos. He's a drone pilot. He's just an interesting guy all around. So I wanted to have him in, tell me about what he's doing. And he agreed. So we're here today, and we're going to talk about IonTampaBay.com. But first, before we get into that, this podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Suite B, St. Petersburg, Florida. You can make an appointment, 727-329-9751. And hey, folks, they're going to be hosting a Botox party. That's right, Botox party. Laura Walsh will be there. She's going to be given Botox to wherever you want, I guess, $9 per unit or $8.50 if you're paying with cash under the table on the lowdown. So make an appointment. You can call Laura, make an appointment at 305-962-3280 or just call Chrissy at Truvy Salon and Spa, 727-600-4753. There's going to be wine as well. She wanted me to tell you. So, hey, get your Botox on, get your wine on, and do your thing. Also brought to you by Tap House 61, formerly Sly Bar. No more. It's now Tap House 61, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. I think their website is taphouse61.com, I would imagine, but you can definitely find them on Facebook at Tap House 61. I don't know why Joe just didn't switch Slybar's Facebook to Tap House 61. I think he's going for a whole new thing. He wants it to be a brand new deal. So food's gone. No more food, but they got a bunch more coolers for beer. So this is going to be a beer-centric facility now. It already kind of was, but now we're going to have more room for taps, more room for coolers. Just a great place to hang. Good environment. Tap House 61, 2061 Central Avenue. Go say hi to them, would you? And thank you, guys, for sponsoring the podcast. Appreciate it, and gals. And if you want to do that, hey, I encourage you to do so. You can get a hold of me. Just go to hmbradio.com. Contact. We've already been over this. All right, let's talk to Steve from iontampabay.com. I've gotten pretty good with this where I just, if I have this mic in front of my face, I'm good to go.
All right. I think I'll be all right.
iontampabay.com is here. Steve Hirschfield, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Will. It's a pleasure to be recognized, and when you asked me to be on the show, it's an honor to be on HMB Radio. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. So I saw you just from your Twitter feed. I kind of found you one day and thought it was interesting what you were doing. Didn't even know your name was Steve. I didn't even know you were a man. I just knew of this entity that was Ion Tampa Bay, and then here you are.
Here you go. Yeah, I did knocked on the door here of the studio, and yeah, I didn't even know.
Scared poor Nicole.
She did run off pretty quick.
Yeah, she was ready to get out of here, I think. We're doing a thing for, you ever heard of Green Bench Mag?
No, I haven't.
It's like they just started, like, I don't know, 6 months ago maybe, but it's like a monthly magazine that comes to your door. So they're writing something on Radio St. Pete.
Oh, very cool. I thought you were doing another podcast in case it didn't work out.
I'm going to.
You could just put her in my place.
Yeah, I told her to. We were having a really interesting conversation about, you know, government and why do I have to give the doctor my social security number. And then a knock on the door. But so she was probably like, thank God I can go now.
But I'm here from Ion Tampa Bay to do a podcast. So what's the government? You're all right.
So what is Ion Tampa Bay?
Ion Tampa Bay, I guess I'll tell you how it started. My whole life I've been a news hound, looking at what's going on. And there's always that deficiency, when someone, the ambulance drives down your street, there's cops out, down the road, and it's natural
what's
curiosity.
Going on? Yeah.
What's going on? And, the news cycle, if they report it, it's like, I'm not going to go tune in at 6 p.m. or 11 p.m. and, the way it is. I know they're switching the times around, and now you have social media, which has its pitfalls as well, but has its benefits. And I do a lot of photography work, and I'd gotten a new camera about 4 years ago, and actually was driving by, and there was a warehouse in Dunedin, fully involved, the candle factory, and got out of the car, ended up taking some video, did some photos, just got some great shots of the firefighters doing what they do best, protecting life, property, environment, and ended up putting the video up on YouTube. Wife calls me about an hour and a half later and says, hey, got a call from, so-and-so over, a local news station, and wonder if they could use your video. And this was just under my own name.
Right.
And I said, well, have her give me a call. So she gives me a call and says, hey, saw your video, wonder if we could use it online or, on TV. I said, sure, how'd you hear about it? Oh, from the Dunedin Fire Department. Said, okay, well, things travel pretty fast. I just put it up under my own name, and it traveled pretty fast. And I got the idea, maybe I'll start doing this, and started toying with some names and what I should call this, quote, company, and came up with this IONTB for Ion Tampa Bay. And
great name, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks to the wife. And it's got the little shutter logo in there, and, on the logo, which takes into consideration the media, the photos, the videos, and it just started from there, and it really started out. I've always been involved with all through college and locally with the fire department, and really respect what they do, and the men and women in blue as well. Really, all our people in public safety, Coast Guard, military, so forth. And this kind of started for them. It was me taking photos, and I watermark everything because there's been instances before of the media just taking
sure.
things,
yeah,
and
yeah,
there
yeah.
are copyright laws, and
absolutely.
And so I had put up on website, hey, any photos you want, they're to public safety, they're yours. The logo's off and it's yours. It wasn't meant to, you know, make money, and I figure, okay, I have a couple hundred followers, you know, we're good to go. And here we are 4 years later, nine or eight followers away from 40,000 alone on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, days on the new website I started this year, I mean, talking 70, 80,000 page views a day. I mean, just the numbers are crazy, and never thought I'd be here 4 years later where I am today.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really good following you have for is it just you that does this, or do you have people that...
For the most part, it's just me, and that's working full-time as well. Obviously, I have most of my weekends off. I have nights, and you know, it's not unusual. I'll get out of work on lunch break, and I'll go work on an article. So you can see most of my posts are first thing in the morning, you know, lunchtime, and then pretty active in the evening, you know, trying to catch up on what's going on. I have very, very little help during the day, but I do have some, obviously. I have a job to take care of, which is obviously primary and pays my bills.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that you're at the point now where you're probably getting people submitting new things.
Yeah, I get, you know, well, it's, I mean, we're talking about where media is. It's, you know, I'll go ahead and put something out there that's going on. It's not unusual to get lots of responses immediately of photos of the scene. Some are inappropriate, and I try to stay on top of that, obviously. The page was never about showing victims or gruesome things. That's not what the page is about.
Mm-hmm.
The page is about, you know, crime and you know, accidents and those kind of things and what our public safety people are doing. So it's kind of where news is going. It's kind of consumer-driven. It's not, hey, here's a story you may be interested in, but I want you to watch 25 minutes of what we want you to hear about, and I'll put this at the very end so you can see it. And I think, yeah, what do they say? The average attention span of someone now, it used to be 12 seconds. Now it's down to 9 or 8, with a goldfish being 6.
Yep.
What did you just say? No, I'm sorry. Mine's about 2. So... You know, and that's where this whole thing with the social media is. And I know I'll go to a website and it's like, okay, I click on something, I want to see it, and oh, now I got to watch an ad for 30 seconds. I'm gone. Mm-hmm. I'm gone.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Same thing.
That's sad that I can't sit there and watch 30 second ads, but I could get that same information
somewhere else. For free.
Yep. And that's what it's all about. So obviously the question is, how do you make money doing this?
Right.
If I had the answer or you had the answer, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be here doing the podcast.
I certainly, I don't have the answer. I definitely don't. But this is, you know, this old way of news at 5, that doesn't exist anymore. With Twitter, if something happens major, I'm going on Twitter. There's a hashtag for it already. And so there's problems with that because are these things confirmed? But I tell you, you know, if you have a shooter's name that the media isn't releasing, usually... 90% of the time, it's on Twitter already, and it's usually correct info. If you look at who has the retweets and the favorites that are the most, those are usually correct.
Usually, but obviously you could see what happened this past weekend, you know, Tarpon Springs. There was an officer-involved shooting, and a name was put out there of the officer that apparently shot this gentleman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was the wrong officer's name.
Mm-hmm.
He began to get death threats. People started going to his home. So, obviously, there's always that misinformation. And I think you got to look at who your sources are. And I think over the past 4 years, I could say I never put anything up there that I was blatantly just wrong about. And I think it comes with having that knack and having to be able to filter through. You could imagine, I'm getting 50, 60 messages from people a day. And I got to decide what am I putting up or what am I not putting up? And then I look at it and say, what bearing does this really have on the story? Okay, I'm just trying to report, you know, really the overview of what's going on that people really need to know about. And I'm not going to put I'll go to a scene where maybe it's a fatality crash, and I'm not putting photos of the car up. I don't want a loved one to say, oh, my God, that's my son's car. Okay, I don't do it. Other media, they may do it. They, of course, don't care when they're flying their helicopter overhead.
Yeah.
To do those kind of things. So, you know, I don't have a cameraman. I don't have an editorial board. It's just me, and I make the decisions, and I can't say I regret really posting things. That doesn't mean people aren't going to be upset and have their own opinions, because people love my site till it involves someone, either
that
them or someone that they know.
Right.
And then they get vicious, and I've had people go on to my – people that follow me and go onto their personal pages and threaten to shoot them and come to their house and kill them and – Oh, it's yeah. I could go on forever about the stories. I mean, what's gone on over the past 4 years, and it kind of, where are we going as a country?
I know. Well, everything's politicized now. That's another part of the problem. News is entertainment now more than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now we got this whole fake news thing. The thing I like about your site too, and when you talk about market, I think people now are in the market because all this stuff is nonsense for bare bones truth. So you have the facts of what happened. You kind of just report that, and then don't tell the reader how to feel about it. These are just what it is. Let them come to their own conclusions. And I think that's where the market is going to be. People are just going to be looking for the truth.
Right. And, yeah, I don't make judgments. And, you know, I've gotten all kinds of letters and cease and desist letters and, you know, threatened of lawsuits and those kind of things. But, yeah, you know, I'm well protected. And my First Amendment right is a media entity. It's just me, but I'm still protected just like any other media entity. You know, when I go ahead and put something out there, and I've gotten it from a public source. You know, I don't make stuff up. I mean, this is stuff that was taken from, you know, a public official that's posted. Now, that doesn't mean that police report or that arrest affidavit was correct, but I do follow up on his stories. I'm not a drive-by where I just put a post out there. There's a lot of issues going on. Obviously, I will follow up on it, and I'll follow through whether it's a year or two later, you know, if things of interest. If people ask me, I get stuff all the time, hey, whatever happened with this case, I'll be happy to go back and look at it. And I've gotten phone calls from people that I have photos of them being arrested. I've taken the stories down. I've taken their mugshots down. I have no problem with it. I'm a breaking news site. I'm going to put it up there, and I'll say, hey, I could do an update on it. I could say what happened. I could pull it down. I don't care. I'm not out to do what some of the media people are doing and getting mugshots and doing the craziest photos of the week of who got arrested. I think that's inappropriate. Okay, I don't do a story like the media did, you know, a month or two ago, talking about the lady that went into Walgreens and stole a bunch of sexual toys and lubricants and condoms, because I look at it whether she stole that or whether she stole diapers.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
And it's crazy. But that but remember, if you forgot, the average, 12 seconds,
yeah.
Right, or 9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get people to come to your story? You become sensationalizing it.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is they go and they sensationalize it with their headlines, with their craziness. Just they want click on my stuff instead of somebody else's.
Yeah,
and they want to get you.
Well, part of the problem is that did work. Sensationalizing worked very well.
Yeah.
And it worked so well that every outlet copied it. So now you don't have really anybody telling just what happened. Just tell me what happened. So I think the pendulum's going to swing back the other way, where people are looking towards independent media, social media, Twitter, just to find out the truth. Don't tell me how to feel about something.
Right.
Let me make that decision. I'm responsible enough to make that decision.
Right.
And it seems like a lot of journalism doesn't exist. Every time I read an article from anywhere, you always can feel the direction they're trying to sway you in.
Absolutely.
Why does an article need to be 8 pages long? Because they're trying to convince you. If there's no way there's 8 pages of facts here.
Well, I mean, unless it's a special, like, you know, I know, I hate to say it, the local newspaper put out a big story. You know, that's a project. It's
sure.
Just a news story.
Right.
But, yeah, everything is political. I mean, you have your views. I have my views. And I don't think anyone, I mean, of course, people are going to say they have a problem with what I write because they know someone or they're in some special group where they feel I posted because of that. But I don't. I'm pretty consistent in what I post. And whether it's the truth or not, I'm posting what facts I have. I'm not making decisions. I'm just not doing it. And it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, and I feel like that's why I end up going to your site and on Twitter to find these things. That's where you know where the truth is, or you hope anyways. At least you can make the decision of it's not swaying you, you know, of how to feel. It's just, this is what it is.
It is what it is. It takes you to the facts that are known at this time.
Yeah.
Okay, and to give the media some slack is, you know, there's a dissemination procedure when agencies put out information. Okay. Keep in mind, I don't know if you remember in elementary school, you play telephone and you kind of whispered in the person's ear, and by the time
right.
you got into the line, it completely changed. And every agency is a little bit different here. And you know, you got the deputy or the officer in charge and the sergeant and lieutenant, And then it goes to a public information officer who wasn't there. It's all hearsay. And I see press releases as blatantly incorrect. Now, whether they're incorrect because they don't want to necessarily put out too much or whether they just don't have their facts straight, that's troublesome. And then the media goes and copies it. Now it's part of history.
I have firsthand experience with this phenomenon. I've told it on a podcast a long time ago. It's a good story. It always makes my friends laugh. So many moons ago, as a young man, younger than I am today, I was into graffiti, and I used to do graffiti. One day, when I was maybe had a few drinks and was riding my bike home, allegedly I may have wrote on a St. Petersburg police, one of those little Lego parking enforcement vehicle cars. And I went to get on my bike and pull away, was tackled immediately, and I thought that I was getting robbed, going to get my bike stolen. And then I felt handcuffs go on, pulled me up. What the hell are you doing? We're right there. They were sitting right there watching the whole time. And I was drunk, so I said, I don't know. And then they put me in a car and took me to jail. So the next day after I got out of jail, 12 hours later, I was released on my own recognizance, whatever you call that. And I get a call from an 813 number. I usually don't answer calls that I don't know. Decided, well, with everything going on, I better if it's something to do with this.
Right.
And he goes, hey, this is Don Gramaise from ABC News. How are you?
Good old Don.
And I said, okay. And he goes, hey, I want to talk to you about what happened last night. And I go, squeeze me? And he goes, well, it's just an interesting story. And I go, are you doing a story about graffiti or something? And he goes, no, no, just how everything went down. I don't know what you're talking about, so I don't really have any comment right now. Okay, no problem. So I'm at my mom's house, and all of a sudden, news at 6, top story, ABC News. I had allegedly, from their story, led police on a slow-speed chase throughout the city. This was during the Grand Prix.
Oh, there you
so
go.
I had allegedly took the police, and horses and carts were chasing me throughout the city, and I was finally caught and taken to justice. Now, this happened at 3:30 in the morning. I was just, like I said, taken to jail. My police report says that, too. But the police spokesman for the city, I forget who it was, I forget his name, this was a long time ago now, said that, yeah, this is what happened. He took him through the city. They went and ambushed my poor mom, stuck a camera in her face.
Don't you love that?
It was unbelievable.
I have never done.
Now, I was half mortified and half, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. This is hilarious because it's just so wild and crazy.
It's a circus.
And it's a lie, a complete fabrication of the truth. But the freaking St. Pete Police Department said, and I still don't understand why that happened to this day. I don't know if it was something on... They had a deal with ABC News that they want these wild and zany stories that they can run just because it's funny. You know, what an idiot. Look at this guy, right? So, I mean, I know how it is, and I know it happens.
Oh, yeah, it happens. And I know I'll look through, you know, the day after, like tomorrow morning, or I was just reviewing today, the arrest from the previous day. And you get basically you get all the arrest affidavits of everybody that got arrested. Now, this is the officer, the deputies, you know, narrative of what happened. May be right, may not be right, but it's that initial information. And if they see something crazy that an officer wrote, yeah, and it's got your phone number on it, you know, and then they'll just pick up the phone and give you a call and try to get the story. So they look for the craziest, sensationalized thing.
On the report, it's exactly like they said, like I said, how it happened. They just tackled me and took me to jail.
So it was all because of the spokes, the
it was
chief or...
the chief. I don't know if they were trying to, like, teach graffiti writers a lesson or something, and we're just going to, you know, make the story up, make you look like an idiot, or what exactly it was.
How long ago was this?
Oh, geez. At least 5 years ago, probably longer than that.
I thought fake news just happened.
No, hard. No, that's the thing. That's what
joking.
I'm saying.
I'm just joking.
I know it exists, and and that's why, I mean, when you hear these stories about these guys that are in the back of a cop car and end up shooting themselves in the back of the head somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what to believe. I know for a fact that they lie. There's no doubt about that. And you want to have faith in your, you know, representatives, the people who are protecting and serving you. And, you know, I know firsthand that sometimes they won't do that. They won't tell the truth. It's,
right.
It's something that's a hard thing to deal with. I think the vast majority are good.
They do, and it is good. And don't start me too much.
And it's not like, by the way, let me just say this. It's not the cops, because they didn't say this. It was their boss.
Right.
So when people say F the police, you should say F the police's boss.
Right.
Right.
But that's still, you're going to forever live that memory.
Oh, yeah.
And that interaction of whether it was the officer or whether it was the chief or assistant chief, and I don't think law enforcement gets that. And I am pro-law enforcement, okay?
Absolutely.
And,
me too.
And the men and women are out there, absolutely. But one bad apple could tarnish someone forever. And I think the job that they're doing, and some are better than others, I'll give a kudos to St. Pete, okay? You got Yolanda Fernandez out there. She's been in the media. She knows what it's about. You got Rick Shaw over there Rob Shaw over there in Clearwater PD and Clearwater Fire. These are people that aren't firefighters. They're not police. They get it. They know how to deal with the public. They know what the public needs and wants. You have other agencies that are run. They're basically social media is being put out there by law enforcement officers. And it shows. Okay? Having a monthly thing of coffee with a cop. That ain't cutting it, okay? And some are better than others. And I think I have a good relationship with all of them. I don't know. I don't basically ask for anything unless there's something big lapse that I really want to, you know, a question answered. I know Yolanda, I could, you know, get with her anytime. Some I'm probably looked at as a pain in the butt because I'm giving more work to do because I'll put something out, and then as soon as I tweet something out, all the media sits around and watches, oh, look, Ion Tampa Bay just posted this, and they'll go call and figure out what's going on. So, yeah, I think they need to do a better job really promoting what they do. And they do a great job.
Yeah.
But people want to know. It's that curiosity. They want to know what's going on in their communities. And I don't think that's unreasonable to be on the same level as everybody else and have that dialogue and have that communication. I'm coming over here. Hey, why is a helicopter flying over this place? Or what's going on? What are they looking for? Well,
yeah.
If I got dogs and helicopters over my house, I want to know why.
Seems
Am I
reasonable.
Safe?
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
So what do? You text Ion Tampa Bay. Well, maybe law enforcement should put a thing out saying, hey, we're looking for someone to stay in your house. You know, we're tracking by canine. Keep your pets inside and lock
your
doors.
Yeah, yeah. I have mixed emotions about it because we had an incident where there was bunch of cop cars just down the road, and just like you said, I don't want to bug these guys because they're working, they're doing something. But at the same time, like you said, am I okay? Should I do something? You know what I mean?
And that's reasonable.
And yeah, but then you know, just go away. And so I kind of understand, you know, that mentality too, where they're like, look, we're doing something.
Yeah, but they got a job to do. I get that. But what about their PIO or what about whoever's running their social media account? It could be an educational experience. You know, hey. You're going to mess up the dog's tracking. We're tracking someone. It was a domestic argument. The guy ran. You know, I'm getting these all day long. What's going on? But it also gives me a heads up to let me know something's going on that I can maybe look into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like I said, some are doing a much better job than others, but they need to really get on the bandwagon. And, you know, the people that hate cops just hate cops, and that's not going to change.
Right.
But you got the others you need to bring in. You know, that blue line's thinning, and you really got to bring these people in and build that community relationship with law enforcement.
Have you ever had an issue where you went to cover a story and maybe you had a run-in with these authorities?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It was like the one that you can think of off the top of your head that was pretty bad. You don't have to name names or anything. But.
Oh, don't name the
You can if you want to. Just say it.
No, I mean, I've had it was really kind of it was early on. I think many of them know who I am, what I'm about. You know, I know I had one early on. You know, it was a motorcyclist that was involved in a crash, and you know, it was with the fire department, which I do some volunteer work with. And I was there taking pictures, and I basically got accosted. A police officer came up to me and started lecturing me about taking pictures, and it shouldn't be putting them up on the web, and that's somebody's family, and this and that. And I get it. I get what he's trying to say. But number one, I got a right to be there. Number two, you don't know what I'm doing with the photo, okay? And, yeah, I mean, I have all this saved on video and audio and everything else. It was just inappropriate how it was handled. If he could have, you know, could have come up and say, hey, you know, just keep in mind this is so-and-so, be careful with it. That one recently, it was a triple fatality on the Bryan-Derry Bridge over Lake Seminole. And I was there pretty early, and it was a bad scene. There's no question. And I was sitting there. At that point, I already got my photos. A lot of times before the media even shows up, I'm home. I covered the breaking news. That's what my site's about. If there's follow-up, people give me information, I'll go with it. And, yeah, I got everybody's in front of me with their cell phones, streaming, taking pictures. I had my camera by my side. You know, I got basically chewed up, threatened they're going to arrest me, take my video, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I've given plenty of video to your agency without any problems to support you guys in a deadly DUI crash I was at. It's yours. You want my video, you can have my video. I'm like, where do you want me to stand? I'll move. I don't care. I don't need to get arrested. And I got it. But I was already there for 20 minutes before this agency showed up to investigate the crash. Probably a new person. I don't know. But
do you think it's paranoia maybe on their end? Like you're trying to catch them doing something? Because now, like, even you can't even trust video. Because you can take video. You can take a snippet of video, take it out of context, and it looks like something completely different than what actually happened.
No, I think in both circumstances they had good intentions. I mean, the first one, they just didn't want that put up. The second one, yeah, you got a triple fatality, two bodies still on the scene. I get it. But I'm behind everybody else, and I have no more or less privileges than people standing in the road that were stuck in traffic or taking pictures because my lens was longer. I mean, what's the difference? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even taking pictures at that point. I'm not there to take pictures of the dead bodies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I understand. You got to do a death investigation. It's a big deal. I got it. But it just, you know, they need to learn a little bit more of how to do that. I know there was one when that plane crashed in McMillan Booth a couple years ago. I got a pretty crappy welcome. Actually, it was most of the other media got a pretty crappy welcome that night. And so did Rob Shaw, who's the PIO for the city of Clearwater. He ended up showing up in plain clothes, but, you know, with a tie on, and he ended up getting the wrath of the other agency that was there. And it was nasty. And he finally called that person over and said, hey, I'm Rob Shaw from the city of Clearwater, PIO. So it was very interesting. And when the other agency's PIO showed up, I shared with them a little bit of what happened. But, you know, I told Rob, I said, I'm glad you see what we get all the time. But that's inappropriate. But what kind of relationship does the media have with these agencies? I'll post facts, whether it's good for them, bad for them. If you got a bad cop like the guy in Madeira that shot a guy in the stomach, okay, I'm going to report it.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. But they're not going to invite me somewhere because I don't have enough followers to make them look good.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's kind of that relationship, which could be good and it could also be bad.
Yeah. Steve Hirschfield here is Steve Hirschfield is here from iontb.com. Yeah, and I think that this goes back now where we're kind of at this all-time everybody's at each other's throats. Everything is politicized. A lot of people, you know, are critical of police now. There's just as many people cheering on the police now. So when you see a story like that, I think people automatically go to my side's right. In my heart, I know my side's right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at what happened this past weekend in Tarpon Springs, you know, with the officer-involved shooting. There were people saying the kid had a knife. He didn't have a knife. Witnesses, eyewitnesses, someone saying he did, someone saying he didn't. How do you believe it? But you got to look at how the agency handled it. And I can go on my little soapbox here, okay? They should have come out that day or the next morning, not 3 days later like they did yesterday, to give some statement and then walk off. Okay, I understand FDLE is doing the investigation. But they could have come out later that night or in the morning and said, here's the officer's name. This is under investigation. And we did recover a weapon. However, what happened, we're talking to witnesses, we're taking care of it. But instead, they waited for 3 days to go by. The wrong officer his name was put out on social media with death threats and people going to his house. And that's part of the problem. By saying a weapon was recovered and who the officer was doesn't impede any investigation by FDLE. And it doesn't. FDLE has okay with that. So why waiting 3 days? That let the flames just...
I think they're just afraid of saying something out of context or, you know, just misusing a wrong word, and then it turns into something else.
Well, in my opinion, let a lesson learned, and it's not the first time something like this has happened. You just come out, and the facts are what they are. It's not like the chief or the police department did it. If officer, he made that choice. He felt like he had to make that choice. As to what was there and what he encountered, that's going to come out during the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just put certain things out? Instead, they protected, what, him and another officer felt the wrath of it. Mm-hmm. And then they came out 3 days later and say a weapon was recovered. Why 3 days later? They could have said it that night.
Yeah, it kind of makes you look bad. At this point, why don't you just say that when it happened?
Right. They bring this on themselves, and it drives me nuts. It's like, just put out what you can that's not going to affect anything. And putting out, hi, this is Chief So-and-so. We regret what happened. These are the things in our investigation. I can't say a whole lot other than we're going to follow procedures, turn everything over to FDLE, and a weapon was recovered, and, you know, this is the officer involved. Maybe, you know, okay, you can wait till the next day to give the officer time to prepare for crazies, but I'm not out there making decisions. I didn't see it. I don't know what happened. I'm going to wait for this. But we now have trial by internet, and you have the right. Google School of Law, just like you have the Google School of Medicine.
Right.
And it's sad. And you look at, and they're planning on having a protest on Saturday and this and that. And, yeah, I don't know. You people have already made up their mind with no facts. But it's not just people on social media. I mean, look at our local news. I mean, when you talk about politicization, I mean, even choosing what story I want to cover obviously shows something. I mean, you know, there's certain magazines or newspapers you pull up, and it's all the article itself might not be biased, but 12 out of the 14 articles are slanted.
Right. Well, here's the thing about that. You don't need to go to an outlet anymore. You can go. It's on YouTube. Go straight to the source. I was talking to a friend of mine. A lot of my friends hate Trump. Totally get it. I said, did you ever watch one of Sean Spicer's press conferences?
Right.
They're there. You can watch them. No, I would never watch that. Why?
No.
It's it's right there. You'll know what he said right there instead of reading it through a third party who may have some bias.
Well, we'll have bias.
Well, absolutely we'll have bias most of the time.
I mean,
yeah.
Everyone's got bias.
Sure.
I mean, that's why, you know, when you ask why I started the site, I'll read an article and I'll read another article. And I figure it probably takes 6 or 7 articles before I can put into my head what really happened.
And that's kind of what you have to do. I think that's a big thing with getting out of this fake news thing is you have to go to a Huffington Post, and you got to go to a Breitbart on the same thing, and kind of the truth's probably in the middle somewhere.
Well,
I would imagine.
Absolutely. So you got to kind of read a bunch of articles, and you know it may be a slant by omission. Oh, let's just leave this
line
part
by,
out.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know the answer. I mean, people have to really delve into it, but there's no attention span for that, and they want 140 characters or less.
Mm-hmm.
And people are definitely visual. I know when I post, if I don't have a photo, it's going to get a lot less views.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it's not an exciting photo, even if it's something someone sent me that's blurry, I try to put a photo with something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it garners
attention.
It's
a visual thing.
It's
yeah.
a visual thing.
Right.
And that's part of the, hey, it's an instant gratification we have. I don't know. It's just
the way our brains work, man. It's engaging the senses. And a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Right. It is.
But, yeah, I mean, people don't want to take the time to do this stuff. And then something like your site, you don't have to. It's just it seems to be presented with just what I know. You know, this seems to be the facts of the matter. You don't really, you know, you don't have any opinion in your pieces. It's just there was a car crash here and 2 people died.
Right.
That's
it. And here's what the officers or deputies say happened, and it's still an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I just never thought it'd be where it is. I don't know where I'm going with it. You know, some days, many days, I've just thrown my hands up, and say, I'm done, and it's like couldn't care. You know, you start getting cease and desist letters from attorneys, and you got to start, you know, talking to attorneys and getting people.
Yeah, it starts to cost you money to do this.
Yeah, well, so far I've been okay. I actually met with a very well respected attorney in the area who actually respected what I do. Complimented what I do, how I do it, and the morals that I and ethics that I do have,
mm-hmm.
and walked out, didn't cost me a thing, and she said she'd be happy to be my attorney. So
that's great.
Glad to know. So the next cease and desist letter is gonna cost that person $300 an hour for 5 hours to start.
Yeah.
Once I learned that I could recover attorney expenses, I'm sure I'll be giving her some business.
Yeah.
I'm done taking down articles. If I have a good reason to, no problem. I'm not out there to slam anyone. But if you're out there and you've been, you know, you pled guilty and you did the crime, it's not going anywhere. And if you don't look at a DUI photo that's posted there, too bad. You should have thought about that before you got behind the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, and it's there. It's if whether it's on your site, it's going to be, if you put your name in the Google, it's going to be there. Mine's still up there. I mean, it's just public record now. It happens.
Right. Well, it's public record, but you know, I know the sheriff has restricted some access to some of the mugshots in this area due to unscrupulous websites, you know, posting things and asking you to pay up to get your photo taken down.
Right,
as soon as you do
right,
that, right. It's going to show up in 10 more websites because now you're on the sucker list.
Yep.
And you'll never get rid of it.
Yep, yep.
So, you know, I know it's all password protected now to the sheriff's office. It took me about 2.5, almost 3 years to get access to that, you know, which is whether you agree with mugshots being released or not, at this point it's First Amendment and it shouldn't be restricted.
Yeah, but we somehow got out of that innocent till proven guilty thing until you go through the court of law. It seems like you're guilty until you're proven innocent.
Or you're innocent until proven indigent. but, yeah, we have gotten to that point. I don't think that's going to change in terms of mugshots. I think it just needs to come to the realization that society has accepted, hey, if there's a photo out there, it is what it is, and people make mistakes, and mugshots are they are. Yeah, and it's sad that it stays up there even if you've been found not guilty. Again, if I get a request from somebody, it's gone off my site. I have no problem doing it. You know, I respect that, and I've honored every one of those requests I've gotten.
So where do you see Ion Tampa Bay going in the future? What would you like to accomplish with it?
I don't know. I think about this all the time, and where do I want to go with it? I can't put any more time into it. I have a job that pays my bills. This is maybe paying my bills. I mean, with my new website, I have some ads. They're not ads where they watch something for 30 seconds. They're just small ads.
Banner ads.
Banner ads.
Yep.
Probably going to be looking for some sponsors to do that. You know, you got a site 50, 60, 70,000 page views a day. I'm sure that has more worth than what Google's doing, especially if it's local.
Yes.
So, you know, looking to do that. I've had a lot of people actually willing to work for free.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that have lost their jobs. You know, a newspaper went out of business. Want to be able to put something on the resume. I want to say, hey, this is what I've been doing. You know, you don't want to say, I haven't done anything in a year and a half. I haven't written an article, but will you hire me? So I've had a lot of people come to me and say, hey, I'll write some articles. So I'm exploring that also with the same attorney who's doing some employment law, to work up some paperwork, and obviously I'd have the final word before something goes out, so my butt's covered.
Yeah, I mean, if you do hire people, then you got to be the editor-in-chief now. Now you're editing and making sure there's no slant there and they have your vision and all that. That's important.
Right, and there is a lot of slant in media, and so I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at, and obviously you get to a point where if you want to grow, you need to let some other things go, and I can't do that with my job. So I don't know where I am with it.
Would you like this to be your job, like your full-time gig?
Nah, I can't pay the bills.
But I'm saying theoretically if it could.
Oh, if it could, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot that I do behind the scenes, working with families. If I post on a fatality crash, most likely I'm going to be contacted by a family member or a friend, especially if I was there. You know, remember, these people just get a knock at the door, and maybe from a different agency, and said, so-and-so, by the, you know, power vested me in the state of Florida, I'm here to let you know that your loved one so-and-so has passed away in a car accident. Oh, my God, where? What happened? I don't have, you know, FHP or whoever's working it. I don't have that information. They go to the hospital. They go, where do you go? Where do you get information? People want to know. Most people want to know. And I've sat down with families, grieving families, and I'll let them know. And as much as I can or as much as they want to know. Because they always have these questions, they never get answered. They want to have some kind of closure. I mean, obviously, you never get over it, you know, and it's tough. And I've done so much of that, and I feel that that's what keeps me going. It's not the little banner ads, and it's definitely not the grief that people put me through, and don't like what I'm posting. And a good example of that is there was it was just over a year ago. A woman had driven into a pond in Largo with a passenger. And the car submerged, the passenger got out, the driver, the divers actually came and they were working on her and doing CPR on her on the bank for quite some time. And I had taken a photo, and it was probably 20 plus people were around her, police officers, you know, Largo PD, Largo Fire Rescue, Sunstar, holding IV bags and frantically working to save her life. I took a picture. Didn't have her in it. She was in the middle of 20-plus people. And I posted it out there. And I get, how dare you post this? How dare you? Horrible. Person's dying. You took it. I got two phone calls from family members thanking me to let me know that they knew that everything that could have been done for her was done. That's why I do this.
Very good. Steve, thank you so much for coming in. Where can people find more about Ion Tampa Bay?
Well, you go to iontb.com, also on Facebook at iontb, and also on Twitter at iontb. So pretty easy to remember. Those are the three things I'm mainly on, and pretty much everything gets posted, at least to Facebook and Twitter. If it's a story I'm going to follow up on, it'll also be added to the website, which will then be linked back to the others. So any of them are pretty all tied together, and you know, my contact information is out there as well.
Cool. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Steve Hirschfield, iontb.com, iontb.com. You can find them. Independent media doing the dirty work that local media doesn't want to do or can't do. I don't know. Interesting talk. Steve's an interesting guy, man. Doing good work. Make sure you check out his site. Thank you for listening to Homemade Broadcast. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for the Jazz Show live from Seminole, Florida, coming up next. After that, the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on a podcast, well, hey, thanks. Appreciate that. Make sure you spread the word. Subscribe, rate. Only takes a minute. Really helps us out. Available on TuneIn app as well now. So wherever you listen, appreciate it. Thanks for doing it. It's got stickers. The Homemade Broadcast at RadioSt.Pete.com. I'll send you some stickers. No problem. On me. No worries. All right. Let me get the heck out of here. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Will Koontz, HMB Radio and Radio St. Pete. Have a good one.